Lord, I thank you, Father God, for moving in our midst. I thank you, Father God, that where two or more are gathered, God, you are among us. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the work of your Holy Spirit in and through each one of us. God, I thank you that you are our hope and our future. And Father, we just look to you this morning with gratitude, Lord God, that you would be glorified, that, Lord, you would be lifted high on our praises. We just thank you for who you are, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning. We're gonna go through, I guess, touch on both fasting and as we look at, we're gonna start with Mark 11, verse 17. Thank you. And it says, then this is Jesus speaking. Then he taught, saying to them, "It is not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." That's the key verse. Mark 11, 17. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Do we have trouble praying? Right? I think prayer is probably one of the hardest things for a believer. And I think fasting is another one. Do you know fasting and prayer is mentioned 86 times in the Bible? 86 times in the Bible talks about prayer and fasting. Fasting and praying. And do you know, what is it, 30 times is mentioned in the New Testament. So 50-some times in the Old Testament, 30-some times in the New Testament. So prayer and fasting is something that maybe we haven't learned about or thought about, but maybe we've been disappointed when we prayed. Maybe that's why we have given up on prayer. But when we pray and fast, our attention goes on to the Lord. And it's a discipline. You know, when you work out, I don't work out, no, but when you work out, I used to work out, then I got married. Yeah. So when you work out, do you see instant results right away? No, it takes time. And during your working out, you might begin discouraged because you don't see the results right away. And when we pray, maybe we don't see the results right away because God said not yet. He's holding on, like maybe it's not in his time for answering that prayer. And he also wants to know is it just a willy-nilly prayer, or do we want to press in and seek him and to really press in, pray for our lost family members or see change in our lives. So prayer does take work. It takes faith. And prayer, Jesus, you know, the Bible says you don't have it because you ask not. So if you have a father that is wanting to give you good gifts and we're not praying, why aren't we praying? You know, fasting gives us a hunger for Jesus because he's the bread of life. In Matthew 6:16, this is Jesus saying this. Moreover, when you fast, do you notice that when you fast, It's not if you fast, it's when you fast. It's when you fast. So it's we should be fasting more often than what we do. And sometimes we get nervous when we hear fasting, because our flesh doesn't like it. Right? Our flesh doesn't like to fast because it's so comfortable in the things that we have, we take for granted, things that we depend on to make us feel comfortable. Fasting is giving up something that is you hold more dear than perhaps the Lord. Something that you hold is a crutch. So maybe for me, candy bars. I like eating chocolate. Right? Yeah. So I went a month without eating chocolate. And when I had my first chocolate bar, oh my goodness, what a sugar rush. So when you fast, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad face. Just like, you know, we're doing this on why we fast is because the Lord's asking us to humble ourselves. He's asking us to draw closer to Him. It's humbling ourselves so that we are dependent on Him rather than on ourselves. And so what the hypocrites did, they disfigured their faces so that they may appear to men to be fasting. Right? That's the wrong way. What they're doing is the wrong way why they're fasting, because they made a religious thing out of it. When we fast, it's between God and us. It's between the two of us. And even as we fast as a body of believers, I've seen when people have come together and fast for a particular person, I see how God has moved in a corporate fasting. Because we're praying and interceding for that person. And God is like, yes, I want to answer that prayer because it aligns up to what my will is and what my word says. You know, it says when we fast, we put on oil on our forehead and wash it off. So nobody else knows. So I know we're going to do a corporate fast, and some of us might not do the whole 21 days. We might only do a few days. There's no judgment. It's between you and God. But just think of the breakthrough when you do fast. There is breakthrough when you fast. Is there something that you have been praying about that you haven't seen breakthrough yet in your life? Fasting is abstaining in some significant way from our routine activities and food. Food is a huge thing for any culture. Food is huge, right? You always have when you gather people, you're always gathering around food. Food is a huge thing. But when we abstain from certain foods, we're humbling ourselves onto the Lord. A biblical fast is going without certain food for a period of time. I know I have personally gone without TV, a cell phone, media, screen fast, the computer. You know, things that have pulled my attention away from the Lord. Those are different types of fasts. So if you're not able to do a food fast for some sort of health reasons, you can also do a media fast. A cell phone fast. Could you imagine Caitlin doing a media fast? A cell phone for not a whole week? I'm just picking on Caitlin because my son's not here today. Just think if you did a TV fast. Just think about if you ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to fast from? Seek Him. And how long, Lord, do you want me to fast for? If you don't do the full 21 days of fasting, in the booklets, I have a 21-day devotion. And I would encourage us to do the devotions along with everybody else. Right? Even if you did it in increments of 3 days and a couple days, you know, and then another 3 days or whatever. But it's between you and the Lord. Fasting breaks a habit of always satisfying our needs. Isn't that true? We have a lot of bad habits. Ephesians 4:22-24 is, says, put off the old nature and put on the new. So a fasting is putting off the old and it breaking those habits. It makes us depend on God to satisfy our needs rather than allowing our flesh to rule. Because our flesh, as much as we do battle against our old nature. And who's the stronger, the old nature or the new nature in our lives? 22-24. Yeah. So it must never be a ritual. So fasting should never be like a ritual. It should never become like a religion. You should never just go around, look, I just fasted this long. I just did this. How often do you fast? You know, sometimes people like to brag what they're doing. You don't get extra points. What happens is when you fast, your relationship with the Lord grows. You grow deeper with the Lord. And also it breaks things in our lives, breaks bad habits. It must be taken seriously and prayerful. During the fast, when you give up certain foods and you give up, like even if you say, I'm going to fast from lunch today, or I'm going to do a fast, I'm not going to eat lunch and supper, right? Now I'm going to have breakfast. That's all I'm going to have for the day. That's a fast. If I'm going to fast just for supper. But in that time of where we're fasting, whatever we're fasting from, what we typically would do during that time is we go to prayer in that time. When we are prayerful during those times, it's like, okay, this is the opportunity when I'm usually eating this meal, where I usually watch TV or I'm willing to do whatever I'm fasting from, in that time slot, you go to the Lord in prayer and supplication and seeking Him, reading His Word. So instead of eating, but you were going to prayer. And you will see your prayer life growing. Your dependence on the Lord will grow. It's like, have you guys ever had, when your wife comes home, my wife comes home, but when I come home and somebody cooked a good meal, imagine the best meal you could ever think of. You know, I was thinking like lobster and shrimp and steak and stuff and garlic toast. So if my wife would have made that for me and I snacked before that on junk food, right? If my wife made this beautiful meal and I came home and, you know, go to the fridge, make myself like a sandwich and all this stuff, am I going to be really hungry for that meal? Likewise, if we're always snacking on something other than the Word of God, that other thing is satisfying us rather than the Word of God. Does that make sense? Too often we snack on other things rather than the Word of God. So when we fast, we are taking our eyes off the things of this world. Not to punish the flesh. We're not punishing the flesh. We're humbling ourselves. We're redirecting and causing us to turn our attentions to Christ. That's what we're doing when we're fasting. It's not to punish the body, the flesh. No, it's like, Lord, I'm humbling myself right now. I want to grow deep with you. I want to see breakthrough in my life. I'm praying for a particular person, or I'm praying for whatever the Lord has placed on your heart. In the booklet, we have people who you'd be praying for. You could be even praying for the body of believers here in this congregation, right? It's seeking the Lord. You know, the enemy of our souls does everything in his power to hinder us. You know, Satan doesn't want the church to fast and pray because he knows that's a weapon. If I take a weapon away from a soldier, if I took his gun away, would the soldier be, you know, how would the soldier work happen in warfare? Would it be effective? If a soldier had no weapon on the battlefield, could he actually be at war? He might say, well, you could stop. If he was the United Nations, nobody would listen. Because if we're not praying, if we're not seeking him, we become powerless. Satan doesn't want the church to be praying. He will do everything in his power to distract us. He will put everything in our way so we would take our eyes off of Christ. So prayer and fasting is like, Lord, I don't want to be satisfied by this world any longer. Lord, I want to be satisfied by you. And Lord, I want to know more of you. Lord, I want to know you as I read your word, that it comes to life and it really feeds me and it satisfies me. Fasting is an important spiritual discipline that can help you draw closer to God. Humble yourself before him. Resist temptation. When you're fasting, there's going to be temptation. I stay away from people with chocolate bars during that time. No, I'm not going to see me for a while. But there's going to be temptation when you fast. It's like, Lord, help me. This is why, like I even last Sunday, I said to be prayerful about how long of a fast the Lord wants you to go into. And what type of fast the Lord wants you to go into. Because there is going to be a battle. There's going to be definitely a battle between the old nature and the new nature. There will be a battle of temptation. But as we press in, the Lord will strengthen you through that time. The Lord will strengthen you through your fast. He would help you and guide you. In it. He will give you the strength to go through this fast. That's why we need to know, Lord, what do you want me to fast from? Fasting and prayer, you can grow in your relationship with the Lord and become more obedient to his will. Romans 12:1 says, bring that up. No? Oh. Well, what does Romans 12:1 say? Okay. Well, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. So we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because these bodies that we have are God's temple. If you're a born-again believer, your body is the temple of God. Biblical fasting is not a hunger strike between you and God. it can be easily to think of that. Because that's why I think people get put off. It's like, oh, I got to do this. No. It's like, Lord, give me a heart to want to fast. He's not trying to put you in an arm bar, leg lock, or whatever, neck hold. He's not putting you in any kind of thing. He's calling his children to fast and to pray and to enter into his presence. He wants us to have a heart wanting to pray and fast. He wants us to have a heart like his son Jesus. You know, biblical fasting isn't so much about how God responds to your prayers. It's more about how you bring your prayers to him. Lord, I'm humbly come before you. So Isaiah 58, 1 to 12. We're going to, this is, says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation did righteousness, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say? And you have not seen. So they're fasting. You start looking at this. They are fasting for the wrong reasons. The nation of Israel, they were fasting out of ritual, religious acts, hoping that God will hear their prayers. But their heart was not right. Why have we afflicted our souls? And you have not taken notice. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. It is a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, is to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread his out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is it not the fast that I have chosen, to loosen the bond of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? This is what the Lord wants. This is what the fast does. It breaks bondages, breaks yokes, it breaks burdens. This is why we fast. Is there a burden? Is there a yoke? Is there a bondage in your life that is holding on to you? Does it circle around all the time? Is there a bondage? Bondage, when we pray and fast, God, the Holy Spirit reveals things in our life maybe we need to repent of. Confess our sins. To get right with the Lord. And as he reveals, we repent. And is there open doors in my life where Satan has access and causing mayhem? Maybe there's bitterness and resentment in your life. You're like, Lord, why do I have so much bitterness and resentment all the time? Why do I have so much anger? Maybe there's a bondage in your life that Satan uses against you. Through prayer and fasting, because it's, what, can you go back to verse 5 again, Ryan? Well, maybe the next one. Which one was it? But break bondages. Verse 6? Oh, 6. Sorry. What is 6? To loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. Do you know that there's people in the body of Christ have heavy burdens? Even oppression in the church. There's why, through prayer and fasting, God exposes things and he deals with things in our lives in a very gentle way. Satan wants the church to be burdensome, to have hold on to its own burdens, to hold on to its own oppression instead of rather being set free. Think of when we ask the Lord to break off things in our lives. He will set you free. He'll break bad habits. He'll break every yoke. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall be before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away your yoke, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. It speaks how sometimes we speak to one another. Always pointing fingers or gossiping. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as your noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those who among you shall build up the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, to restore the streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot, it will suffer. So Isaiah talks about the right way to fast. Isaiah 58, 1 to 14, it talks about the right way to fast. Where you receive spiritual breakthrough, prayers answered, transformation and healing. When you fast the wrong way, there is a little change. In the beginning, there was a rebuke against Israel because they were fasting the wrong way. They were just doing it out of ritual rather than from the heart. You know, when you do it the wrong way, there comes disappointment and frustration. The context in Isaiah 58 is rebuked from the Lord because the Jewish people were fasting improperly. They were fasting as a manner of religiousness rather than what they should have been doing. We don't fast to get God's attention like twisting somebody's arm until they scream in pain to get what you want. Fasting is from a very sincere heart. And we do when we fast with a sincere heart, that gets God's attention. Fasting is a matter of seeking the Lord and drawing near to God. The Israelites were fasting, rebelling against God. Verse 3 to 4, they were rebelling against God. They were still living in their sin. Instead of putting off sin, they were still sinning and fasting. So God is giving them a rebuke. If you really fast and seek me the right way, should it not be evident by the way you're living? When we fast and live a godly way, there should be evidence in our lives. Godly evidence. But they were not. the rebellion against him. God is never interested in spiritual activities if it doesn't come from the heart of sincerity to do his will and to walk in his obedience. God is calling them to a proper idea, a proper way to fast, an understanding and practice of fasting. So when we ask the Lord, Lord, this is why I want to fast. Because I want to be humbled. Lord, I want to become more dependent on you. Lord, I want to see breakthrough in my life. Is that our heart, why we're going to fast? Or is it because I asked everybody to fast? When we ask the Lord, why, what should I be fasting from? It should be from the heart. Just write down, Lord, I want to see breakthrough in this area of my life. Lord, I want to have breakthrough in my marriage. Or I want to see breakthrough in my kids. Or, Lord, I want to see breakthrough in the church or in this town. I want to see, or even opportunities to share the gospel with friends and family. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. King David fasted when his son was dying. King Josaphat proclaimed a fast throughout Judea for victory over their enemies. Queen Esther declared a 3-day fast for all the Jewish Jews prior to the risk in her own life by approaching and speaking King Xerxes. Even when Jonah went to Nineveh and they heard the word of God, they repented and fasted. God moved in that in Nineveh. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The early church fasted and sent out Barnabas and Saul in Acts 13. Fasting is one of the least practiced and rarely taught of spiritual disciplines. Now, many churches speak about fasting and prayer. Why is that? Okay. Well, I think sometimes we like doing things easy. We get lazy. Do I fast it? Do I fast often? Not as often as I think I should. I think God really wants us to press in. I know in like January 1st, what do people do January 1st? New Year's resolutions. And how long do those New Year's resolutions last? Precisely. Never buy a gym membership on January 1st. Or the day before. They have good intentions. Right? The flesh is weak. It only goes for so long. But when we pray and fast, it's like, Lord, how long should I be fasting for? And what do you want me to fast from? Yeah. So it's like in Ephesians 4, when he says, put on the new nature. We're putting on the new nature by feeding the soul rather than the flesh. When we feed the flesh, the new man gets very weak. When we feed the new man, reading the Word of God, prayer, fasting, reading the Word of God, we're feeding that new nature. And what happens with the old nature becomes weak. and it falls away. Those old tendencies fall away. Those old habits fall away. It's just like when you work out. You feel stronger, you feel healthier, you feel more vibrant. When we fast, you'll feel, maybe the first couple days, you're not going to feel great. Because your body's going through detox. Right? If you, or even a couple meals or whatever, however kind of fast it is. It's, you're feeding the new nature. So we want the new nature to be stronger and healthier. So that we will press into the Lord. Fasting is a biblical way to humble ourselves before our Lord. King David said, I humble myself with fasting. Your confidence and faith in God will be strengthened. You will feel mentally, spiritually, and physically refreshed. That's the benefit of fasting. Your relationship with the Lord will become renewed, trusting and leaning on Him more. Peter 5:5 says, the Lord, do we have that one right? No? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. When we fast, we're humbling ourselves before the Lord. And He says, and He'll lift us up. He will give us His strength. He will give us. Yeah, that's it. But gives, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But be clothed in humility. Humility is one. Do you know, I'll make it short. Fast is not a primary call to hunger, but a calling to weakness. And why do we want to be weak? Yeah. So how often do we do things in our own strength? Too often. We always gravitate to what we're good at. You know that? You're good at one thing, you always gravitate to that as your strength. Rather than say, Lord, I want to be stretched in this area. And so when we want to be stretched in a new area, God's going to take us out of our comfort zone. And we don't like that because we're weak in that area. But it's like, Lord, I want to grow in this area. So if prayer is an area that you want to grow in, it's like, Lord, help me to pray. Show me how to pray. And if it's from the heart, I love it when my kids pray because it's from the heart. When it's from the heart, that really is the best thing ever. When we pray from the heart, God answers those prayers. If you want to be praying for a breakthrough in your life, or you want to see breakthrough in somebody else's life, interceding for those people or that person. Do you remember Brother Un, the Chinese pastor? He was hunted down and arrested and thrown into prison, tortured, and then told to give up on the names of the underground church movement. So he negotiated a few days reprieve. During that time, Jesus appeared to him and told him that he will face a fiery trial. So Brother Un decided to fast in order to prepare for the time of testing and to pray for the underground church. So from January 25th, 1984 to April 7th, 1984, 73 days, he did not eat. Instead, he gave his food way to the prisoners, to other prisoners. During this time, he was tortured, tortured, just beyond words, to give up the underground church. Prisoners watched and knew that it was a supernatural strength, because no, humanly speaking, he should never have survived the 7 3 days. It was a supernatural strength that he received from God. When we fast and pray, it's going to be a supernatural strength from God, not in our own strength. Prisoners, the one prisoner planted his cell around his cell. Other people came to know the Lord because of his obedience. His inner spirit became stronger than his outward bodily, and his body wasted. What big issue looms in your life that you need a supernatural power for? What do you need help with today? What thing is that we're struggling with today? And how can we pray for each other? As we pray and fast, is there a breakthrough that you want to see in your life? Or is there a burden in your life? How we come together and pray and fast together as a body of believers? How can we strengthen one another? Through prayer and fasting. The Lord desires his children to come humbly to him and ask him, Lord, I need your strength. Don't be afraid of what the Lord might ask you to give up. Don't be afraid of fasting. It's a time of wanting to grow closer with the Lord. The time of saying, Lord, it's really getting tired of what this world tries to offer. It's like a healthy, something false, right? Do we hunger for the Lord in a way of seeing him moving in our lives, or seeing him move in our family, or in the church, or even in their communities? Do we have, even if you're fasting, whatever it is, what kind of breakthrough do you want in your life? Do you know that, remember that, I'm going to mention this, remember when the disciples were praying for this one person, and they prayed because there's a demonic spirit on that child, and they said, we prayed and we tried to cast out this demonic spirit, and it would not leave. And Jesus said to them, because it can't come out, it can only come out through prayer and fasting. There's demonic things that we're battling against. And when we press in, it's going to be breakthrough. What kind of breakthrough are we looking for? Are we discouraged? Do we feel hopeless? Are we unsatisfied? Like, what is it? What is it the Lord's already been speaking? And you know what the Lord's been saying. He's impressing on people's hearts. Because I know God still speaks today. And I know he speaks to every single one of us. How will you respond to him today? Because Satan doesn't want you to press in. He will give you the easy way out. Satan tried to tempt Jesus. Right? Was Jesus weak after 40 days and 40 nights of his fast? No. Because he said, man does not live by the bread of by bread alone, but by every word of God. When we press into the word of God, it strengthens us, it empowers us. He gives us ability to withstand Satan's attacks. How do we look at fasting? Is it a weapon that we're going to use to win a spiritual battle? Because we're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 talks about that. How do we want to respond? Right? Who do you want to rule and reign in your life today? Do you want more of the Lord or more of yourself? Hopefully don't go with that, because that's what the world wants. More of yourself. That's kind of depressing. I want more of the Lord. I want to grow in trust and to know him more intimately, so that I would have more victories over sin in my life. Because we all still sin. And when we fast and praise, like, Lord, I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired of this bad habit, and I want to die from it. So, Lord, as we seek you today, and Lord, as we ask, Lord, we want to do this fast from our hearts, not because of ritual, not because Kyle says we should be doing this, but I want to do it from my heart. Lord, show me in Scripture even the benefits of praying and fasting. Even, Father, that as I read your word and I start seeking you, Lord, that you would strengthen me and you would strengthen us. Lord, that we would put off the things of our flesh and then put on that new nature to grow in your strength, to know you more intimately and personally. We pray, Father, that you would take these heavy burdens, these yokes. I know your word says, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Matthew 11:28. Lord, we desire to put on the yoke of Christ. And Lord, we want to walk in your freedom. Lord, we don't want to be bound up any longer. Lord, we want to see your fruit being bearing in our lives. We want to be fruitful for you, Lord. We desire to see family members saved. We desire to see breakthrough in our own lives. And Lord, as we press in, Lord, we want to see you at work in our lives. But Lord, that we would to see our faith grow deeper with you. And to have a deeper faith, a knowledge, faith, knowing that because of our trust and faith in you, you're always faithful. And Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you're the one who strengthens us and gives us the victory to overcome the schemes of the enemy. Lord, I pray for protection over our minds. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we go out today, Lord, that you protect our minds. And Lord, that we put on the full armor of God and defend us from the fiery darts from Satan that tries bringing doubt in. And Lord, we want to stand firmly on your word. Help us to believe your word wholeheartedly. And Lord, help us to stretch us, Lord. Help us to grow deeper with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that we can give back to you from a grateful heart. And Lord, we thank you that we can give and pour into your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that as we give, Father, we see the fruit of it. And Lord, how it blesses other people. And Lord, we do pray for those other people that don't have much. Lord, that you would sustain them, you would give them what they need. And Lord, we just pray that you open doors for us to share your love with other people in this house. In Jesus' name.